Hello, I'm Denise Schwartz, your host. Let's talk today about green burials, traditional burials, and shrouds. You know, I think about my mother. I bet she most likely felt that being placed in a casket and then in a metal vault before being lowered into the good earth was a good protection from ants and the other in-the-ground things that could decompose her body. After all, she was always on the lookout for such things while she was alive, and usually she was looking for them so that she could shoo them away, sweep them up, or in other ways, avoid them. But my dad, you know, I think on the other hand, if he had been given a choice, he probably would have thought that going into the soft dirt wrapped in a shroud as comforting as his old jacket and becoming nutrients for an apple tree or wild roses was not such a bad way to go. But in each way, it's really important to remember that the practice of preparing a body for burial is an act of acknowledgement and respect. And we're going to talk about that today with my guest, Dina Stander. She's a Western Massachusetts-based end-of-life navigator, a death doula. She's also the funeral celebrant and burial shroud maker and the founder of the Northeast Death Care Collaborative. Now, you may have listened to Dina and me in a podcast episode titled, What Does a Death Doula Do? That episode led to this one, in which we are going to talk about burial shrouds and green or natural burials. Hi, Dina.
Good morning.
So, shrouds. Let's talk about that first. You know, I hear the word shroud and I think about the Shroud of Turin, the one with the face of Jesus imprinted on it. But I don't usually think about a shroud as being part of a funeral. And I guess that's because I have usually attended funerals more typical of my culture, you know, the kind in which a body wearing, you know, contemporary clothing is embalmed and placed in a casket, like my mom was. But I do know that there's a long history of shrouding bodies. Different religions typically use shrouds to cover the body of the deceased. And so for some people, shrouding is probably familiar. For me, not so much. So can we start by you giving us a short history of shrouding? I think it's probably going to be pretty interesting. And then let's talk about shrouding and how we're starting to be more familiar with that in terms of its use in natural or green burials.
So shrouding, for when I think about shrouding, I think about ancient hominids, honestly, and someone they cared for dying.
Yes.
And some, you know, giant leaves that they wrap the person in as part of a death ritual. So for me, shrouding is something we all understand what it means when something precious has died, to want to wrap it.
What do you think that is?
I don't know. The first time I think I thought to shroud something, it was a bird I found dead in the back meadow, and I wrapped it in leaves and buried it. And it was an absolutely natural
feeling for
you. It was just, this is what you do for something that's died. You treat it gently, and you give it a little cocoon to be safe in, and you leave it be. So that was sort of, I think, where that began for me. So, you know, the history of shrouding, I think, is deep in us as humans. I think that there have always been shrouding cultures as far back as we can remember. In modern day world, there are shrouding cultures. The Hindu culture shrouds. Mm-hmm. Jewish and Muslim traditions use shrouds, multi-pieced and of different sorts, and some for men and some for women. There's elaborate shrouding in Jewish and Muslim culture, there with special knots that are tied in the shrouds, and it's like part of it. And there is the Baha'i tradition is a shrouding tradition, and then other indigenous cultures around the world continue to use shrouding as part of their death rituals.
I'm wondering, is it a protective thing, or is it more like a gift to what comes next?
Oh, I would say all of the above. And so sort of a protective thing, sort of a preparing, you know, the whole thing of preparing a body for disposition, whether mm-hmm. it's cremation or burial or something different. Creating this time that's sacred.
I know.
That's otherworldly in a way, mm-hmm. because it's liminal between life and death.
Yes.
And we bring to that what we can. And I think that in the changing conversation around dying and death and after death care that's happening in the country, we're really seeing people very thoughtful about the plans they want to make in their own families.
I'm thinking that it's more like, you know, in traditional burials or traditional funerals, a funeral director comes in and does a lot of things, and there's a lot of opportunity for family to have input. But as you're speaking, I'm thinking about how personal it is for someone to be involved in wrapping the body of a loved one and sending it off into whatever comes next.
The old term for shroud in sort of English language, it was winding sheets.
Because so you the wound body, it around you, the
they
body.
They were wound around the body, and they were winding sheets.
You know, it's so funny. I'm thinking of it so differently right now, and just maybe it's the way you're speaking. I'm just thinking, I want to do this. And the scenario that you gave us of the little bird, I know, you're right, we do that. So why would we not do that for other human animals, right? So you also make shrouds. Tell me a little bit about that.
I do make shrouds. I was in the emergency room, my role as a hospital chaplain, and I met a family whose person had died, and it was very hard for them to leave, to say goodbye and leave. They needed time to touch their person. Mm-hmm. And then I realized that they couldn't leave until we covered their person's face.
Oh, why?
And there is something about pulling a sheet over a person's face that communicates finality. And that this has really happened, and that we're not imagining. This isn't a bad dream. This isn't anything else but what's real in front of us now.
Yes, I think you're right.
And there's something about that moment. In a conventional funeral home funeral, there's a moment where the casket is closed,
yes.
if it's been open. And often everyone, it's either closed before the service sometimes. Mm-hmm. Often, though, it's open for the service. Everyone leaves except for the family, who come and say a final farewell and witness the closing of the casket.
Oh.
A lot of times now, if you're with a funeral home staff at a burial ground, mm-hmm. The casket isn't lowered as part of the service. The family leaves, and then the casket's lowered.
This makes me
crazy. It's a conventional thing, and I always have to check with the funeral director, what's the plan? Does the family want to shovel earth, or do they want to be here when the casket's lowered, or, you know, are we making this part of the optics? And often people are choosing not to witness that, which I find unimaginable, but I come from a culture that does traditionally shrouding, simple burial, very simple burial, plain burial, and moves earth. And that the family will sometimes stay until the grave is full.
These are all things to think about. And I like the idea of us having this conversation so that we can spread the word. Start thinking about it now, not just for yourself, but for those you leave behind.
Oh, if you want your family to stay and watch your coffin lowered, you should tell them.
Who even thinks of things like
there
that?
There is from Cindia, C-I-N-D-E-A, the Canadian. It's a group of Canadian death educators.
Okay.
C-I-N-D-E-A, and they have a new fillable PDF downloadable format, after death directive.
Oh my goodness.
That you can fill out and leave instructions for your family. I mean, people are thinking about these things. Another way to get great information about funerals, if you're thinking, what do I want? How do I want it to happen? How do I make plans? all across the country, there are affiliates of the Funeral Consumers Alliance, and they do work in, you know, within this, within your state and within your community. They know what the rules are. They know which funeral directors are green burial friendly, that kind of thing. So look to the FCA first, the Funeral Consumers Alliance first, for information and resources, and then start your planning from there.
Funeral Consumers Alliance.
They
okay, that's really helpful.
They're a nonprofit, community, grassroots funeral information alliance.
Okay, wonderful. This is a good segue into the other topic of today, and that is green or natural burials. Now, tell us why all of a sudden we're looking at a rise in interest in these. I mean, I can guess.
Well, you know, I think, you know, in the same way that there's an, that there has been a positivity brought to thinking about death. I shy away from the term death positive movement. I like to think of it as the death wellness movement, where we have more wellness in our approach to death.
Oh my gosh,
rather
this is
than
all
positivity,
such new stuff.
Right? Rather than positivity, because it's hard to be positive
about
death, and it's not
right.
required of us. So, green burial, I think, in the same way that natural childbirth came with that sort of section of the baby boom folks who wanted to do things more naturally. I think that same group of people, as they saw their parents die and are now becoming elders themselves and thinking about their own deaths, are like, oh, we can do this differently. We don't need to be buried with a cement vault. I don't want to be in a sea of headstones that goes on for acres and acres. Well, and I don't want formaldehyde and embalming fluid.
Is it also related to, like, the, you know, reduction of carbon footprint, that sort of thing, a more environmental movement? Do you
people
see that
say
being connected?
That, and I think that's somewhat true, that there's a greening of lots of parts of life now, that people are looking for more intentional ways of being in relationship with the earth.
I think that makes
conservation,
sense.
And then there are different levels of green burial. We talked about this a little bit before, but at the most basic level of green burial, your municipal cemetery may have a green burial section.
Okay.
I'm a cemetery commissioner in Shutesbury, and we have a green burial section set aside for people who want to buy plots and have a green burial. And the burials there, there are no vaults, no cement vaults. Their caskets are plain, not metal, plain wood and simple, if they use a casket, and they may not. And so, you know, there are some different rules, and you should check with your municipality, but even sometimes cities, like the city of Pittsfield has made a green section in their municipal cemetery.
Okay.
So we're seeing this change, and then there are, you know, specific green burial cemeteries, which have different kinds of rules and guidelines. And then there are conservation burial cemeteries. And a conservation burial is a burial in the ground at a specific location that you can get the longitudinal and latitudinal coordinates to. You can get a pinpoint, you know, where in those woods was the body put, and they do keep track. But you're buried with as little as possible.
You mean you're not shrouded?
You could be in a shroud, you could be in like a wicker casket, something biodegradable, or you could just be placed gently on pine boughs in the ground.
Oh my gosh.
And covered maybe with some more plant material and pine boughs, and then covered with earth.
I didn't know you were allowed to do that. I thought there were, you know, sort of...
It's a body decomposing into the soil, whether it's through fabric, wicker, or by itself.
Well, I have some questions. I asked some friends, because, you know, people are really interested in this topic. I can see you want to say
more. I want to just finish about conservation burial, because I think it's an important point to make. So conservation burial is the most orthodox of green burial configurations.
Tell me.
It's got the most restrictions about what can go in the grave. Often in a conservation burial ground, you can't put any mementos, any metal items, or even ceramic items into the grave. So, you know, there tend to be more rules, and it's for people who just want to return to the earth as simply as possible, without leaving some outward sign that says, here's my epitaph.
Wow, I didn't know.
So that's what that is. And I think that works for people whose family want to go see the view in the spot, but don't need to know where their person was.
Thank you for telling us about that. I didn't know about it. Well, once again, so I'm asking my friends about this. There is a lot of interest in this kind of burial. These are some of the questions, and I hope you can answer them. First, really basic. Well, how do green burials work? Who does them? Can you have a wake? And if you do...
Let's start with the first one. So, how do green burials work? Green burials work in the same way any burial works. They start in the same way. Someone chooses a spot and digs a hole. That hole for green burial is going to be 3 to 4 feet, not 6.
Oh.
Right? So that the top of the body is about 3 feet from the top of the soil.
Why?
Because the microbial organisms that live in the soil live in the top 3 feet, and those are what help your body decompose. That's what goes to work returning you to the soil.
To dust.
Well, to the soil.
Yeah,
not
right.
So
but
dusty
I'm just thinking
in this
about
situation.
The, you know, the, yeah, the biblical right? phrase, yeah.
So, so that's the first thing about green burial is it's a shallower burial. You can have a funeral home if they're experienced with green burial, if you're willing to teach them, and for that you might need to plan ahead. Funeral homes can help you with green burial. They can help you with shrouded burial. I have a picture on my website of a shrouded body being lowered into a conventional grave, just the shrouded body.
No casket.
No, and I'm sure they went 5 feet at least. Ooh. It was out in the Midwest someplace kind of urban, and this woman convinced them to let her mother be buried just in a shroud, and there's these funeral director men leaning over, lowering the shrouded body into the ground. And I was moved, really moved by these guys being willing to help this family.
That's
so
really
most funeral directors, if you say to them, we're really committed to a green burial, can you help us figure out how to do it right, will help you because you're their clients. And their clientele are greening along with all of society, right? So so people are asking them. I had a funeral director call me a couple of weeks ago to say, I went to look in our closet for a shroud and there weren't any and the supplier can't get me one on time and I've got a burial tomorrow. Can you help?
Wow.
And it was a green burial locally in a cemetery that I know and I know their section and I knew it was going to be done nicely. And I said, yeah. And so we met in a church parking lot in another town between us.
Oh my God.
I handed off the shroud. And the remarkable thing was a few days later, I got a Facebook message from a family member in that family. I had no idea who this was going to, but she knows that I'm the local shroud maker. And she said, I think our person got married in your shroud, and thank you. So there, you know, there are these little circles that come back.
This is so
amazing.
But
they had a regular funeral director helping them with a very green burial, a shrouded body direct into the earth.
Okay. How can you have a wake?
Yeah. So, I mean, now we're sort of getting away from green burial, which anyone can have. I mean, a green burial, a person who's having green burial can have the wake at the funeral home even. I mean, in the way that we do. But really what you're starting to ask about is a home funeral.
Well, but wait a minute. If you're going to have a green funeral, that means you're not going to be embalmed. Can you have a traditional funeral home have an unembalmed body?
They have them all the time.
Every
human being who is Muslim,
oh, right.
Or Jewish, who is connected with their tradition and following the rules of that tradition, is an unembalmed body.
That's right.
Unembalmed bodies are not scary. We should talk about this because there are three kinds of burial in my mind that happen in the United States. There's traditional burial, which was every burial in this country up until the Civil War. Until the Civil War, no one was embalmed. Most people were waked at home, sometimes for 2 or 3 days, and then the family took their family member to the burial ground or hired a funeral director to help them with transportation. But the stuff that happened at home was in the purview of the family and the faith community if they had one. After the Civil War, when we started embalming bodies because we wanted to be able to send them home to wherever in the country by train they could get, and there was such a massive amount of death.
Yeah.
Funeral directors really became a business to embalm, and they were saying, well, this is the modern way and we should all do this. And suddenly we started putting all those chemicals into the earth. But until that time, there were not embalmed bodies.
That's right. You're right.
And that's something important to think about. Embalming doesn't make a body healthier or easier to manage because it creates openings.
What do you mean?
Oh, well, they go in and they remove those parts then they fill you with the fluid. So it's more intrusive to the body, I think, embalming is. Some people really prefer it, and some people like extreme embalming. And you see photos of people who are in, like, wild poses sitting up at their funeral watching the game.
No.
You should go look for this
stuff. I don't want to look at
that. It's a little scary.
Sorry.
You know, Grandpa in his Cadillac at the mortuary.
No.
I am not kidding. So.
Can we continue?
With green burial? That's extreme. So we started with traditional burial, which was every burial in whatever way it was done before the Civil War. Then from the Civil War, I really think of it as what we think of as conventional burial. So first there was embalming, then there was cement vaults, which are used to prevent cave-in from nearby graves, although you can use plywood for that and pull the plywood out, you know, as the grave is filled, and then you're not putting more material in the earth. So cement vaults, steel caskets with rubber gaskets.
Mm-hmm.
It just went on and on and on, the conventional into the, you know, the extreme embalming I talked to you about, which is part of conventional burial in America today.
Okay.
And then there's green burial, which we moved into, which is saying, whoa, this has gone too far. We don't need to be putting billions of board feet of wood into the ground and steel and billions of tons of concrete.
And spend all this money for this.
And spend a lot of money, and there's got to be a better way.
There's got to be a better way.
So I think people said, let's take this back in the way that people took back birth, and said, let's take back death. And we started seeing, really, 20 years or more ago, a movement towards home funerals, bringing death home. So if someone dies in the home, not calling the funeral home, right? For a few days.
There aren't rules that you have to.
You have to report the death, but that doesn't mean you have to call a funeral home. Mm-hmm. It's okay to wake your person at home.
Okay.
If someone dies in the hospital, instead of being transported to the funeral home, they can be transported home for a home funeral. And that typically happens between after death, in the first 24 to 72 hours after death, the person is kept home. So for 1 to 3 days.
1 to 3 days. And I know we need to start to wind down, but I have so many more questions. If we are having a home funeral, one of the questions that my friend asked was, how do you keep the body from decomposing when you have it at home? Can we briefly talk about that?
So bodies start to change right after last breath,
mm-hmm.
right? There's this cascade of physiological changes that happen. And there are ways to so it's a secretion issue.
Okay,
right?
I understand.
There are ways to
minimize
secretion, which is helpful. There, you want to wash the body which is helpful. And then there are cooling products. In the beginning, we used dry ice. Mm-hmm. It's hard to get. It's hard to handle. It can burn you, and it off-gasses. Mm-hmm. So you have to have windows open and stuff. In the winter, windows open and a very cold room are sufficient to keep a body cool. Sometimes air conditioning helps. But additionally, we do use a product called Technice. It's a food-grade weird material with these little cells, and you plunge it in water and you squish it, and they puff up, and it can be frozen, and it holds, and it will hold, it keeps food frozen in the mail kind of thing.
Oh, okay.
So it'll keep things very cold, and you put them in specific places above and below the body, and really it's okay. You'll stay safe.
I actually was at a home funeral, and yes, indeed, that is what happened. They had the body on a very thick slab of ice and quilted and covered over with flowers and other things all over the body laying there, and it was really wonderful.
Yeah.
It was really wonderful.
And so people can come and say goodbye.
Yeah, and that's what we did.
And it's okay.
Okay, we have to move on, and I don't want to because there's so much we could talk about, but two other things. Why can't I have a headstone? We talked briefly about that, but
you can have a headstone.
Well, I have a plot in my I have a place in my family plot, and we all have headstones, and you know, it's really important for our family to have that headstone.
There is no reason why you can't have a headstone with green burial. It depends on the rules of the burial ground. So in our municipal burial ground in Shutesbury, where we have a green burial section, we allow headstones. In some of the new conservation burial grounds, they do not allow headstones. So it really depends on the rules of the place and how people want to make it work. But there's no rule that you can't have a green burial and a headstone at the same time. Okay. But with your burial ground where your family has a plot, I would contact them sooner than later and say, we really want to have a green burial. How can we make this work?
I'm going to do that. I have one more thing to ask, and then I think we have to wrap up, even though we could keep going on and on. A lot of people want to be cremated. How do we look at greening cremation?
So greening cremation is a really important thing to consider. There's still more than 70% of people choosing cremation over burial.
Really?
Absolutely. And anyone in the funeral industry will tell you that number is growing, not shrinking. So a lot of people are still choosing cremation. Cremation, the smokestacks for cremations have much better scrubbers than they used to have. I am not a big proponent of cremation, but it's a choice.
Right.
And it's sometimes the best choice for a family to make. So, you know, choose a crematory that's using the most modern scrubbers is one way to green your cremation. Another way to green your cremation is to not be cremated in a big wooden casket. Be cremated in a cardboard cremation box. Then the material you're sending off into the air is reduced. There's alkaline hydrolysis, which is also called water cremation or aquamation. Desmond Tutu made that choice with his remains. And you get a very similar product to cremation where you get crushed bone for remains. You know, the effluent from fire cremation is smoke. The effluent from aquamation is a lot of watery material with body juice in it.
Oh, dear.
So that, you know, those things have, that's a little complicated. There is one place in Colorado where you can have a fire cremation with like a big fire.
Like a bonfire?
Like a bonfire. So that's happening places where it's legal. There are all sorts of choices, but the really important thing about cremation and greening cremations is what you do with the remains. Scattering a circle of ashes around a tree is really going to disrupt the biome around that tree because the ashes are extremely basic. Their pH is extremely basic, and so they burn.
So what should you do?
So what you might do is put a little bit here and a little bit there. You might really? Turn your ashes into art instead of, right, so that they don't go into the soil. But the other thing to do is to wrap the ashes in about 3 layers of blanket weight wool and basically shroud your cremated remains. You can put them in a cotton bag first so they're easier to handle, and then wrap them in about 3 layers of blanket weight wool and then bury that about 18 inches down. And
well, wait, what about people who say, just throw my ashes to the wind or go to the ocean and toss me into the...
You can do that. It's okay. What people do. It's not the greenest way. The greenest way is to put them in one place and let them slowly leach into the environment where because it's slow, as the wool also decomposes, it's just a slower process and it's not so toxic.
Well, you have certainly...
There's one other thing want to tell your listeners. Another one. Which is, please, if you're interested in home funerals, go to the website of the National Home Funeral Alliance, NHFA, and they have all the information you need about how to learn to conduct home funerals in your own community.
We'll add that link to the end
Thank
of
you.
This. I do feel that we have come to the end. We did that in the last episode, didn't we? I said that very same thing. You have given all of us an awful lot to think about. I see our producer over there, Alex, going, oh, I have some questions. Alex, we're going to have to do it in another episode. There's a lot to talk about. This is perfect. Any final words for our listeners?
Yes. If you are looking for how to green your own cemetery in your own town in New England, please go to nhfuneral.org, New Hampshire Funeral, not funerals, funeral.org, and you will find all the information you need for how to begin that process.
You know, let's finish this by saying that even though we laughed a little bit about this, because let's face it, it's a subject that, you know, you don't really discuss too often, and some of it is a little strange, and we're talking about saying goodbye, but also we're talking about something that really, you used the word sacred, and for many people it is, but it's always something that we should think of with respect. And that's how I'd like to end it.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Enjoyable talking to you always.
I think we're going to talk again.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.